Next argued case is number 21-1452, Afalayan against the Department of Justice. Mr. Burke.
May it please the court. This case involves the denial of benefits for Ms. Lisa Afalayan due to the death of her husband while training to be a Border Patrol officer. The government's denial of benefits was an error for three reasons. First, the government erred by improperly considering Agent Afalayan's sickle cell trait as a cause of his death. Second, the agency regulations impermissibly limit recovery to a single direct and proximate cause of death. And third, the evidence in the case does not provide substantial evidence to support the denial. First, the agency erred by considering sickle cell trait as a cause of Agent Afalayan's death.
So what do you make out of the, I guess it's the 2012 amendment, maybe I have the date wrong, adding a heart attack and stroke as a ground for allowing benefits? Doesn't that suggest that the Congress didn't want to make other pre-existing conditions the ground for recovery?
No, Your Honor. The 2012 amendment made clear that Congress approved of the exclusion for stress and strain, and yet found that in particular cases, when stress and strain leads to a heart attack or a stroke.
No, but I don't think you're really addressing my question. My question is, 2012, they say heart attack and stroke is going to qualify. In other words, we're not going to have a situation where we determine whether heart attack is the cause or climactic conditions were the cause or whatever. So they took this out. They took out this situation where pre-existing conditions could have contributed to the death. And they've said, okay, we're not going to allow those to be considered. Doesn't that suggest, the amendment suggests, that other pre-existing conditions are going to be considered in the causation analysis?
Your Honor, potentially if those pre-existing conditions would be occupational diseases under the regulations. I'm unaware of a situation where an officer suffered from a heart attack or stroke due to pre-existing conditions that would not already be excluded under the statute that would become compensable under the 2012 Act. It's my understanding that under the 2012 Act...
Well, I mean, you could have a situation almost exactly like this one, and in which there was a heart attack after a training exercise, which was exacerbated by climactic conditions. And yet Congress said, okay, we're not going to, with respect to heart attack and stroke, engage in that kind of causation analysis. Doesn't that sort of suggest that maybe with respect to other pre-existing conditions that there is going to be that causation analysis?
Your Honor, the 2012 statute should be read in the context for which it was passed. There was a problem recognized that many firefighters going into burning buildings and fully protected from the smoke and other hazards were dying because of the stress and strain that they were suffering while going into those buildings. Congress determined that these officers, their families should be compensated for their deaths, despite the fact that these officers were frequently dying as a result of a heart attack or stroke brought on by stress or strain. And so Congress passed this act in order to bring those officers within the meaning of the statute. So I do not believe that that statute endorses.
Were also some of those cases that Congress was trying to address previously, they would have to have an inquiry into whether the heart attack was due to the line of duty or due to some poor physical health conditions. And so that's what Congress was trying to get at there, that you don't have to go through this complicated analysis of whether the proximate cause was the person's, like history of smoking, for instance, or it was actually caused by the line of duty.
Your Honor, I think the Morrow case is one of those cases where in that case the officer had smoke inhalation and then a number of weeks later died as a
result. I don't mean smoke inhalation. I mean poor health. I mean, I didn't go back and reread these cases, but I seem to recall at some point quite a while ago that was some of the disputes, that when people had heart attacks or strokes, that there was a dispute about whether the heart attack was caused by the strain of line of duty and the like, or it was just because they had pre-existing conditions that would put them at risk for a heart attack. And I thought that's what this legislation was intended to address. And that would be the same thing here, wouldn't it? That, you know, this condition puts him at an increased risk, but Congress chose not to address this one yet.
Well, Your Honor, one main distinction between this case and a case where someone is smoking is that sickle cell trait is a benign trait. So yes, it put him at increased risk, but it could not cause his death.
That question, whether the sickle cell condition here, I mean, if we're going to get there, then we have the opinions of at least a couple doctors that his sickle cell condition triggered a sickle cell crisis that was the primary cause of his death.
Your Honor, that there's no distinction between his sickle cell trait causing his death and an allergy causing an allergic reaction. And we have the case, the sickle cell trait, the evidence in the record is that it's a benign condition that has no impact on individuals' lives. The one exception is that it makes them more susceptible to adverse environmental conditions.
Yeah, but we don't have any cases on that. There is a bee sting case, for example, at the agency, but we haven't said that an allergic condition can't be considered in the causation analysis under those circumstances, right?
No, Your Honor, but the agency has. And if the agency is going to change its position here and now say that these types of benign personal traits can be considered, it needs to explain why. And its failure to explain why in this case...
The bee sting case didn't say... I mean, the bee sting case is very unclear as to what it's saying. It's quite brief. And it doesn't say pre-existing conditions are irrelevant.
No, Your Honor. However, we have the obvious parallel of the allergy in that case, and it was never even mentioned as a potential cause. The agency also, prior to the statute passed by Congress, issued guidance on COVID-19, saying that when an officer who had COVID-19 died, unless there was convincing evidence of another separate cause of death, they would presume that that death was caused by COVID-19. And we know that COVID-19, one of the main contributors to death in those cases, are benign traits like age or other comorbidities like obesity, diabetes, or otherwise.
And I don't understand how this helps you. It seems to suggest that anytime Congress understands that there's a particular situation that requires a different rule rather than the default rule, they enact legislation to create that particular rule. But they haven't yet done that for sickle cell. I don't mean to be dismissive of this. This is a very tragic situation, and I understand what, you know, the issues here, but it doesn't seem that it's impermissible for the agency to consider this under their regulation as one of the factors. And if they can't consider it as one of the factors, they get to determine whether it was the stress of the heat and climatic conditions was the primary cause or the sickle cell crisis was the primary cause.
Your Honor, the first thing I would say is that the agency acted here before Congress did. So they had their own understanding of this current state of the law before Congress passed that law.
Which one? The
COVID-19.
The COVID-19. Yeah, but that's just, I mean, that they've already passed even before this, though, the heart attack and stroke one, which was singling out specific events. What I'm suggesting to you is not relying only on the COVID, but that Congress is aware that sometimes these rules need to be changed to recognize specific situations. And, you know, there were instances prior to the heart attack rule where people had heart attacks in the line of duty and couldn't get compensation, and Congress addressed that. Maybe they need to do that for sickle cell, too.
Your Honor, they certainly could pass a law making it clear. However, in those cases, prior to the passage of the law in 2012, when the agency denied those claims, it was in the cases that we have here, it was because the officer died as the result of stress or strain or because of heart disease, which would qualify as an occupational disease. The agency itself has created two carve-outs from the definition of injury for things it believes could potentially cause a death and yet would not be compensable. And those are stress or strain, as you mentioned, and also occupational diseases. The government has not even contended in this case that sickle cell trait is an occupational disease, and that's because it is a benign trait. There is no law enforcement agency in the country that would bar someone from serving because they have sickle cell trait. And he himself was declared medically fit before joining the Border Patrol. And so it is our inclination that the agency's choice to exclude these two particular factors from the definition of injury means that other benign personal traits cannot be considered. It would make no sense for the agency to deny a claim because of an officer's age. And similarly, it makes no sense to deny a claim because of an officer's sickle cell trait.
Well, except if that sickle cell trait is what caused the death, as opposed to the on-duty conduct, or the on-duty, whatever the circumstances sounding on-duty were. I mean, isn't that the whole point, is even if this occurred during the line of duty, the second step is to determine what is the primary proximate cause. And if sickle cell was the primary proximate cause, then you don't get compensation.
Well, it's our position that sickle cell trait can't be the primary cause because it is a benign personal trait.
Why can't it be if the doctors say this is what caused his death?
Well, the doctors identified it as a factor in the same way that...
I don't want to quibble about what the evidence is, so if you don't agree with it, just assume that this is hypothetical. But some of the doctors said this was primarily due to a sickle cell crisis. And so let's just assume that's a fact, that it was the primary cause of his death.
Well, a sickle cell crisis, yes, Your Honor, but that is not saying that it was primarily caused by his sickle cell trait. This is a condition where the sickle cell crisis, or whatever the cause
is. Okay, but now you're quibbling, I think, about what I don't want to argue about. What I want to understand is, if this death was due to the sickle cell crisis, which doesn't have anything to do with the line of duty, then why does he get compensation?
He gets compensation because the sickle cell crisis was caused by climatic conditions, exercise, and the fact that he had the sickle cell trait playing a contributing factor. The question is, what caused the sickle cell crisis? The sickle cell crisis itself is not something that he had prior to training in New Mexico. The sickle cell crisis was something that was brought on during this final training run in the high altitude, high heat, and low humidity in the New Mexico desert. And so the question is, what brought on that sickle cell crisis? And here, Dr. Cena in particular said that the viral illness, physical exertion, hot climate, dehydration, and altitude exposure were the factors that brought on that sickle cell crisis.
Well, isn't it the case that no doctor said which of the two things, that is the sickle cell trait or the climatic conditions, was a primary cause? And under the regulations, you would have to have evidence that the primary cause was climatic conditions, and you just didn't have that evidence. I mean, I understand your argument that you shouldn't take into account the sickle cell trait. Let's put that aside for a moment. It is the case, is it not, that on this record there is no physician who's saying that the climatic conditions were the primary cause of this, right?
No doctor used those words. However, Dr. Melisnik Polchan did say that Agent Affoline, with a sickle cell trait, had been engaged in heavy physical exercise throughout his life prior to this training, and that the only new factors that were introduced into his life that led to this sickle cell crisis and death were the altitude, hot climate, and dry conditions in Artesia, New Mexico. So although she did not use those words, she did expressly say that the only new factors that brought about Agent Affoline's death in this case were the altitude, heat, and low humidity.
Okay, but I guess what I'm saying is, putting aside your pre-existing condition argument, that there's nothing wrong with the decision here. The regulation says climatic conditions or whatever else it is has to be the primary cause, and there's no evidence here that that was the primary cause.
Well, there's certainly evidence that climatic conditions were a direct and proximate cause. And our second argument in the case...
Sure, but of equal weight, apparently, with the sickle cell trait.
Well, Your Honor, we do have an argument that the regulations impermissibly limit recovery to only a single direct and proximate cause, whereas the statute, in using the phrase direct and proximate result of death, incorporated the legal understanding that there may be multiple direct and proximate causes. So we think, at a minimum, the climatic conditions were a direct and proximate cause of Agent Affoline's death, even if you find that they were not the direct and proximate cause.
But the statute doesn't say multiple causes. It says the cause.
It says the result, Your Honor. It says the direct and proximate result. And death is the only result that the statute is concerned about in that case, in that language. Your Honor, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Yes, so you have your rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Long. Thank you. Mr. Long, let me ask you what really has been bothering me. Let's just assume as a hypothetical that the person who dies does not have a sickle cell trait or any other cause of death, and yet the same thing happens. He goes on the final mile and a half run, he drops dead. There would be no doubt, would there, but that this would be compensable?
I don't think that's true, Your Honor. And the reason is that the inquiry is what has been shown to be the cause of death. And so, or the cause of death and the cause of injury that led to death. And so there would need to be evidence in the record for BJA's director consider showing that climatic conditions were the direct and proximate cause of the condition that led to death. And so even if you take away the sickle cell trait in this instance or some other existing condition, you then would need to show how the climatic conditions on that particular day led to injury and death. And so in this instance, we know that his whole training class took a run. Many completed without incidents. Tragically, Agent Efalan did not. We need to understand what happened with respect to him or with respect to someone who did not have the sickle cell trait that created this condition. And the requirement is showing by preponderance of the evidence by the claimant of what the reasoning was. And here, the evidence simply did not add up to demonstrating that climatic conditions or some other external force was the significant factor in leading to the sickle cell crisis that then, or exertational rhabdomyolysis that then led to Agent Efalan's death. And without that showing, the statute simply does not provide recovery.
Let me give you a hypothetical. Suppose you had a situation in which someone died from heat stroke as a result, in part, from climatic conditions. And the evidence is the person was not overweight, but that if the person had weighed 40 pounds less, he would not have died from this. It was a combination of his weight and the climatic conditions. I mean, is the government under those circumstances entitled to argue that the fact that this person weighed 40 pounds more was an equal cause of his death and that there can't be any recovery? I mean, the pre-existing condition thing is sort of amorphous. How do you come out in my hypothetical?
Well, Your Honor, I think in that hypothetical, you have, let's assume that the doctors have posited what you're talking about. So if the medical evidence then said that the substantial factor, that the climatic conditions, and the court in Dicta and Juno referred to unusually adverse climatic conditions, whatever the standard may be for that, that those climatic conditions were a greater force than everything else acting together. That's from the substantial factor definition in 28 CFR 32.3. If those climatic conditions were the greatest factor coming together...
I'm assuming the doctors say it's the 40 pounds extra weight and the climatic conditions in combination caused the death, and we can't say which of those two factors was the primary factor.
I think then we're in this situation, Your Honor, in where...
A recovery.
Where the doctors have the medical evidence presented in the record doesn't identify an external force as the...
So no recovery.
Right.
That's right. Troubling to me because it makes it sound as though almost any condition that in some way could contribute to a death is going to perhaps enter into the calculus and deny recovery. And I'm not sure that I think that that's what Congress intended.
Well, I mean, if we look at the court addressed the definition of personal injury in the Yanko decision, and in that case, the court noted that the focus is, Congress's focus was the some sort of physical assault or trauma to the body. Okay, so that is what the Act is directed at, right? And so the inquiry that I'm describing to your hypothetical, focuses on what the external force was. What was the physical trauma leading to the bodily condition? And here, we have medical evidence that identifies sickle cell trait. It also identifies dehydration, which is not a climatic condition. It identifies physical exertion, which is could fall under the exception for physical stress or strain, the exception of injury. There's a number of factors that have been identified, and the medical evidence doesn't demonstrate how those interact. And to the contrary, Dr. Sina said that there were other, that these other factors did contribute to a significant extent, and the other medical professionals didn't demonstrate that the climatic conditions
alone. So you're saying if you could find one other person or one group of people who would have survived these climactic conditions, then there can't be any recovery. It just doesn't sound right. There's got to be some distinction among various pre-existing conditions. People are different and they react differently even within the realm of normal physical attributes. And some people are going to die from heat stroke under those circumstances and some people aren't. It can't be that any showing that there's some group of people who wouldn't have been affected by this can lead to denial of recovery for people within the normal range who would have died, who did die.
That's not the argument we're making, Your Honor. We're not saying that the fact that, you know, some might have not been affected by this, that, well, BJA's director, his decision was based on the medical evidence in the record, which was focused on analysis deriving mostly from Agent Effelion's autopsy.
What I'm asking is that, you know, there are all sorts of pre-existing conditions. How do we distinguish those that are relevant in determining causation and those that aren't? That's what I'm asking about, and I don't hear an answer so far as to how I can make that distinction.
Well, I suppose the flip side of it, Your Honor, I would submit is, well, then, if the inquiry were otherwise, then BJA would not be able to analyze the full scope of potential causation and the various factors that might contribute. And so we have sickle cell trait. There could be obesity. I mean, there could be a number of physical traits, heart conditions prior to the amendment of the act, that could be factors. And all of that should be within BJA's factual inquiry. And,
if a pre-existing condition would have disqualified the person from employment, you know, and the person was nonetheless hired, I can see an argument there that you have to take account of that pre-existing condition as being a causative factor. Mm-hmm. But here, you agree, everybody seems to agree, the fact that you have a sickle cell trait doesn't bar you from being employed as a law enforcement officer, right?
Yes, that's right. But I don't see even if we were to remove sickle cell trait from these medical opinions, they don't state that external forces, climatic conditions, in this FLAN's formulation, were the substantial factor in Agent FLAN's death. So even if we take that away, and that is, I suppose, to some extent hypothetical, because the doctors, at least three of the doctors, do identify sickle cell trait, but taking it out, we still wouldn't know. We don't have any indication of how these climatic conditions affected Agent Effelion in any specific way. There's no linkage there. And of note that in talking about climatic conditions, the regulatory
isn't it pretty clear that if you took out, you didn't consider the sickle cell trait, the climatic conditions would have been the cause?
Well, I believe that Dr. Milucinich's Polchan's opinion of exertational rhabdomyolysis, apologize, is not primarily predicated on the presence of the sickle cell trait. I believe that it is her focus is that it can arise from strenuous physical exercise. That's what she pointed to as the causation there in her opinion. And so I agree that we don't know what the opinions would have been in the absence of identification of sickle cell trait. But again, the burden is on the petitioner to demonstrate how these factors came together, and the evidence in the record doesn't make that showing.
Why doesn't the regulation provide a way for the agency to consider whether a condition contributes enough in addition to the heat stroke. I mean, it seems like, you know, you look at part one is, was the factor alone sufficient to cause the death? Mm-hmm. And in these pre-existing condition cases, that's probably going to be really hard to prove. But the second one is, no other factors contributed to the death as so great of a degree. So if you look at the fact that there was a contributing factor, but that that couldn't have contributed as great of a degree as the external injury, then they would achieve compensation. So if the doctor's evidence here had been, well, sure, he had the sickle cell condition, but it's clear that that wouldn't have caused the death. What caused the death is the heat stroke, even with this condition that put him slightly at risk, we'd be in a different place, wouldn't we?
I think that that's probably true. I think that it depends on this price phrasing, but yes, I think that the general gist is right. And well, I think then that we go back then to the purpose of the Act and the language of the Act and the focus on these external forces and the point that...
Judge Dyke's hypothetical, if the person could have survived if he'd been 40 pounds less, even though he was within a healthy rate range, but the evidence shows that, you know, he possibly or would have survived, if it's still the evidence is that the climactic conditions were the met clause to as great of a degree, then the fact that he could have survived at 40 pounds less wouldn't prevent compensation, would it?
The fact that he could have survived if he weighed 40 pounds less, I think that's right. Look, if the doctor comes in,
I know I'm changing his hypothetical so a little bit, but if the doctor comes in and says, look, heat conditions were the likely cause here, although the fact that he was 40 pounds overweight could have led to this, but I still think heat stroke is the primary cause. Mm-hmm. That would qualify under two, even the fact that there is another cause that could have contributed. It doesn't have to be the... In other words, subpart two allows for pre-existing conditions to contribute, mm-hmm. as long as it's not one of the factors that contributed to as great of a degree as right. the external event.
The climatic conditions. That's correct.
But we don't have that evidence here is
right.
the problem.
It is a mix of evidence that does not tell us exactly how, or that exact proportion in a way that helps us track this substantial factor definition. That's right. That's right. And so for that reason, we've talked a bit about the medical evidence. We believe the substantial evidence supports the director's determination here, and that the director followed BJA's regulations in performing the analysis. Just to talk about the question of whether or not other factors should be considered in a general sense with respect to the statute. As I mentioned before, in addition to the later enactment of the exceptions for heart attack and stroke, we also have the point that the regulatory definition of injury has for decades now identified external forces as the focus of the inquiry. And so you wouldn't need to look at external forces if you weren't also considering internal conditions, potential factors other than external forces. So that longstanding regulatory definition helps highlight the point that the inquiry is not limited to external factors. And then finally, to touch on one other point that my friend was, I think, going to make is with respect to the Act does not permit multiple direct and proximate causes. The Act speaks of a death as the direct and proximate cause of a personal injury. So the death is compensable where it is the direct and proximate result of an injury. That suggests that there don't necessarily need to be multiple direct and proximate causes. And as to the causation of injury, as I've said, this is a longstanding regulatory definition that has focused on the substantial factor inquiry, and it is completely consistent with the statute itself. And if there are no further questions, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Burke.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just a couple points. First, the government makes the argument that in this case there was a mix of factors, and so Ms. Affalion failed to meet her burden. But in this case, there was not a lack of evidence in the record as to what caused Agent Affalion's death. We have the report of four doctors, we have the testimony from multiple fellow officers, and we have an evidentiary hearing. Under the government,
the record shows that the doctors were unwilling to say that climactic conditions or sickle cell trait, that one of those was the primary cause. They basically said it wouldn't happen unless you had the confluence of the two of them, and can't say which one is the primary cause. That's the record, as I understand it.
Yes, Your Honor. My only point is that in this case, under the government's position, there was no direct and proximate cause of Agent Affalion's death. And that simply doesn't make sense. Something caused his death. Something was the direct and proximate cause of his death.
Multiple causes. But the trouble, your problem is that where you have multiple causes and you can't single one out as the primary cause, then the claimant loses.
Your Honor, my position is that the director, as a fact finder in this case, had enough evidence to make a determination. He could have determined that under his reading, sickle cell trait was the direct and proximate cause. He could have determined that...
Sure, but wasn't he entitled to say, I can't tell which is the primary cause, therefore you lose?
Well, in that case, there simply is no direct and proximate cause. But, Your Honor,
no, there's multiple proximate causes. I mean, you yourself recognize that in certain contexts, you can get liability for multiple proximate causes. And I know you have that argument here on the legal side, too, but assume we disagree with you. But, again... the doctors have said this constellation of factors could have caused the death. But the director doesn't have to pick out which one caused it to deny you. It's your burden to show that it was a line of duty connected injury.
Yes, Your Honor, and we believe that burden was satisfied. However,
again, the evidence doesn't support that. If we're talking about evidence and we review the director's decision for substantial evidence, all right, then the evidence from the doctors doesn't really single out the climactic conditions as the cause of death. It suggests that the climactic conditions and possible combination with the sickle cell crisis, I don't know if there's anything else in there. I mean, that's, you know, unfortunately, there's a higher standard here for you to meet under these regulations, and you have to show that it wasn't something, or you have to show that it was primarily the in-duty injury that caused it and not something else.
Yes, Your Honor. And I would merely point to the fact that Dr. Natarajan, who performed the autopsy and was the only doctor to examine his body, did find that it was heat illness. But I'd like to move on. Judge Dyke, you asked the government where the line would be drawn, what pre-existing conditions may be considered and what may not. And in our position, the government's regulations, by carving out occupational diseases, answer that question. Your point is well taken that if sickle cell trait was a reason to deny Agent Affalion membership or candidacy for the Border Patrol, then certainly him having that might be a reason to deny him benefits because he would have hidden it or lied about it or in some other way been negligent. But they welcomed him into the Border Patrol, they welcomed him into training, and they declared him medically fit. And then they turned around and used that factor to deny his claim. And the PSOB Act is a remedial statute that should be construed liberally.
Can I just ask you a different hypothetical? Suppose that we're not talking about sickle cell or something like that, but suppose during the course of this training run, one of the agents had a brain aneurysm. And, you know, it's during a training run, so you can consider that an injury in the line of duty, but then you have to determine whether the aneurysm was actually the proximate cause of the death. You know, what caused the aneurysm and whether it was a line of duty or something else. And all the evidence suggests this was a, you know, genetic issue or, you know, it was pre-existing. Nobody had discovered it. It hadn't been discovered in pre-entry physicals, but that the heat conditions had nothing to do with it. This person was died solely as a result of an aneurysm. That's in some sense, that's a pre-existing condition. It may be undiscovered. Would, in your view, that be compensable because the aneurysm occurred during climactic conditions with the run?
No, Your Honor, because in that case, there, as you pointed out, there was no evidence that the heat played any role whatsoever. If he had a condition where he would have been completely fine and lived a normal life, but because he was placed in the heat that acted and for some reason caused.
So it's not just pre-existing conditions can't play a role. It's that you know, if they are the cause. I mean, I'm a little confused now because you were saying pre-existing conditions can't be used as a basis for denial, but in that hypothetical, you agree that it would be a basis for denial.
Well, in that case, there's no evidence that there was any injury acting on the officer whatsoever.
But they died during the training run.
Yes, but the...
So that meets the injury during the line of duty, and then you have to go to the next step to determine what the proximate cause was.
Yes, Your Honor. But in that case, there was no evidence that one of the factors under the regulation were even a cause, much less a direct and proximate.
Right, okay. But hopefully we're not debating this legal issue about whether there can be one or multiple causes. I'm going with the regulation, and so I don't understand, I'm sorry, I've got you over your time, why you could consider that pre-existing condition just because it could possibly have no connection and can't consider sickle cell because it might have no connection to the duty, but it might have a connection to the duty.
Your Honor, our main distinction is that the undisputed evidence in this case is that sickle cell trait is a benign personal trait. In that case, the aneurysm you're talking about is clearly not benign because it itself acted to cause this injury and death. In our opinion, the sickle cell trait is no different than age, race, sex, or an allergy, which all make an officer more susceptible to certain adverse conditions. Under the government's view, they could always pull out a number of factors that could have played a role, throw up their hands, and say that there is not enough evidence to find that there is a direct and proximate cause. One final point, if I may.
I wonder whether you might have a standard which would say, if this is a well-known risk factor for death under these circumstances, that kind of pre-existing condition can be considered, but the government is not able to sort of gin up on an individual basis some other contributing factor which isn't a well-known risk factor. That's just an idea. I don't know whether that's the right line, but I'm searching for some way of distinguishing between those pre-existing conditions which could be considered and those which couldn't. And it seems to me that that is an important line in this case.
Your Honor, I think this court drew the line quite well in Juno. In that case, the officer in question had a pre-existing heart condition and diabetes myelitis. And in that case, the court found that those conditions made it very likely that the stress or strain of chasing a suspect would cause his death. And in that case, the conditions themselves were not the cause of death, and yet they made it more likely that the stress or strain would result in his death. And this court found that the stress or strain was the cause of death in those cases. That could be a way that this court could, the agency below can certainly consider that certain conditions or traits of an officer could make them more susceptible to certain conditions, and then find that those conditions were the actual cause. The point here is that it, as a benign condition, while it makes him more susceptible, it cannot act on its own. The injury is the traumatized condition of the body, but trauma could not have been caused by a benign condition.
It's not entirely a benign condition in the sense that it is a risk factor that can make you more susceptible to death under these circumstances.
Well, Your Honor, to the extent that age is not a benign condition, then I would agree with you. Age makes all of us more susceptible to any number of hazards that we will encounter in our lives, and yet the age does not cause someone to succumb or be injured by those factors. The actual incident that triggers the event is the cause. When my grandmother breaks her hip falling in the shower, it's not because her injury was not caused by her age, it was caused by the fall. Her age simply makes her more susceptible to serious injury from falls and from other conditions. The one last point I would like to make is, Judge Dyke, you said that if sickle cell trait was not considered, you asked whether it would be compensable, and the government said that it would not because of the evidence in this case. I would just first say that if you find that sickle cell trait should not have been considered, at a minimum, this case should be reversed because the director clearly included sickle cell trait as one of the causes and one of the reasons for his confusion. However, the evidence in this case makes very clear that climatic conditions played a much more significant role than the stress or strain of running a 1.5-mile training run. And the evidence is the testimony from his fellow officers saying that Agent Athelion was a stallion, a machine, in incredible shape. He was a man who, for whom running a mile and a half at the moderate pace he did is certainly not the kind of stress or strain that could have ended his life. And with that, Your Honors, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under submission.